Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your boom.
Hey girls!
Bonjour!
Welcome back to the Girls Podcast! Fresh off the last leg of our tour, Lindsay. How do you feel? RIP to our tour.
I loved tour.
I'm sad it's over.
I felt like Mick Jagger.
I did. And like, people keep being like, how is tour? And I'm like, it is, guys. Like, it was such a great excuse for not doing anything as well. Like, I was on the phone to someone yesterday and I was like, sorry, just been mad busy touring on my first national tour.
Sorry I didn't get back to you there. I was on tour. Touring around the country.
It's like we did four dates over 6 weeks.
I've been watching your Instagram. You're just bopping around the beach.
While touring.
I was mid-tour at that point.
But, God forbid me for having a little break from my tour.
Jesus. But yeah, tour was great. It was so freaking fun.
So fun. Thank you to everyone who turned up. We appreciate it so much, you guys. Dublin was such a fun show. All of you were cray cray. Like, oh my God, the fucking noise of you all.
The noise
is insane.
And it was so fun testing out a new show. And thank you so much for lolling away.
Yes.
That's always the fear.
So thank you to everyone who came. We loved it. We are hopefully going to be announcing more dates wherever they may be over the next few weeks. So obviously the first place you'll hear from that is on the podcast or on our social. So make sure you're following us. But that's definitely not the last you've seen of our live shows. We love the live shows. They're probably our favorite part of doing the podcast because it's like real. The real-time reaction is just mad.
Yeah. And meeting you gals and guys and seeing like... just the effect that it has had is really cool.
Seeing it IRL.
And seeing the community, dudes.
The community.
Our little community.
Yeah, so Linz, you want to... you've got a little bit of a chazza, but not your usual chazza plug.
I am going to be running or making my way downtown to VHI Women's Mini Marathon in aid of my cousin's little boy James, who is diagnosed with
muscular dystrophy or something. Is it?
So usually they would be quite older. He's 3 years old. But my cousin noticed that she noticed that his limbs kind of were maybe weaker than she thought. So like he was kind of getting up to the cot. He was like, when he started walking and stuff, he kind of really has to push himself. So it's kind of, he will end up probably in a wheelchair.
Is this what what's her name from Teen Mom 2's childhood?
I think so.
Very similar story.
Yeah.
Remember Corey? She will not be in a wheelchair.
I know.
it's so sad.
It's so sad. And my cousin totally is amazing. Like Rachel has like, you know, been handling it so well. And James is great. He's so happy and healthy and such a lovely little boy. But we just really want to help Rachel, my cousin, because she is... she has to go to so many hospital appointments. They're like weekly just to get him checked up all the time. We want to help her out with transport because when he is in the wheelchair, for example, like there's a lot of things. Even say they'll have to like...
their house probably.
Yeah, they'll have to do up their whole house to...
God. The standard
to help
of...
this.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. So we really just want to help her because it's such an important cause.
So where can people donate?
I'm going to do a link maybe under this episode if possible. We've made a GoFundMe page.
Okay, fab. So we'll put that in the description of the episode.
Yeah, and I'll be talking about it a little bit on my Instagram as well. So check that out too, girls. But yeah, it's a really good cause and I would just be so thankful if you could help us out with that. And I will be Instagramming the freaking marathon. And I'm going to go, it's after Forbidden Fruit, so it's going to be a moment. I've done it before. It's so much crack. So You can still sign up actually if you're interested in It Girl Release. It's so much crack.
Yeah, you'll have loads of fun.
Yeah, so we're doing it with all my cousins, my sisters, my aunts and
very
stuff.
Cute. Okay, girls, so go donate there if you want to give back little baby James.
Yes, bless thank him. You, girlies. Pretty such a little angel. Cutie. But yeah, so this week we just wanted to have a little chit-chat with the girlies.
Just a chit-chat. We haven't had an episode for a while where we've just been like talking shit. And I know, Lindsay, so let's start off. You're obsessed with this fucking James Charles.
I'm down the rabbit hole.
Literally, Lindsay, every day I've tried to talk to her normally, she's like, blah, 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 blah. Like, she'll say something.
I'm like, the thoughts on this drama video.
I mean, it probably has been. We obviously covered it fresh off the bat last week. On our last episode. So if you want to know what the hell we're talking about, it's obviously the Tati, James Charles, Jeffree Star controversy. But we did a big rundown on it last week. And then since then, loads has come out. It's probably been like, other than I'd say the PewDiePie scandal like 2 years ago or whatever, or anything that he's involved in just because he's...
What was that?
Oh, I mean, I can't. I don't even have the energy. It's like, it was the Washington Post did a hit piece on him. Like, it affected... Basically, what happened was the Washington Post did a hit piece on PewDiePie calling him a Nazi, saying that he's like pro-Nazi, which he wasn't, which you can't, like, I mean, I can't get into it now because it's just too long for a story. Yeah. And that is what affected all of YouTube's ad revenue. That's what started the adpocalypse. That's why everyone started to make less money on stuff, because advertisers started to hit back on YouTube saying that they don't want their... premium advertising. So like the way YouTube advertising works is that like the certain level of influencer or YouTuber is like a premium advertiser. So like the likes of Logan Paul, Jake Paul, like the biggest people like PewDiePie, they would get the best ads, which have the highest CPM on them. So like, you know, obviously if you have an ad for like, you know, those like apps, say, they're like a really low CPM, but if you have an ad for like Pepsi or BMW before your video, you're getting paid really high, and that's because those brands know that a PewDiePie video is probably going to get 10 million views, so that's huge advertising for them. But basically, after that happened, after the Washington Post did a hit piece on PewDiePie, then all of these brands, huge brands, like I think it was like Pepsi, Coke, BMW, all these car brands, huge, biggest brands, they all were like, fuck this, we're not paying for premium advertising anymore. So then everyone on YouTube's income was affected. That's why all YouTubers since then have been like, we don't make money on YouTube anymore. They don't make the same money. Yeah, so like...
And did he get a huge, big hit back from that?
I think in the long run it just only like solidified his space, because it was so obvious what the Washington Post were doing. They were just like completely threatened by like all new media, or just so threatened by new media. And like, he was able to... now he had loads of other scandals in the interim, which there's no point in going into, but that one was like, he was like making joke videos where he would go on Fiverr. Do you know that? It's like this thing where like you can sell a skill. He would go on Fiverr and like tell people to do things, and they were like, they basically added one and one together and got seven, but they kind of put it in a way, like, you know, they constructed the article in a way that, like, you know, if your mom read it, they'd be like, oh my god, like, it's putting it out to like the general public. So I think like after that happened, because it actually only made him bigger, which is like crazy because he was already the biggest fucking YouTuber on the platform, but I think that's when people were like, oh shit, like, sometimes when like people come after you like that, it only shows that like what you were doing isn't wrong. You know, that way it's like it basically backfired against the Washington Post.
Which is what's so interesting about this James Charles whole saga, because like when we first got that Tati video, her subscribers went up like 15 million.
It doubled. She went from 5 to 10.
Okay. And we know that James Charles was 16 million before this whole scandal. His like dropped dramatically. So that huge big change, the shift in follower power was like the talk of the freaking town. And
it was the biggest loss ever of subscribers for James in YouTube history.
I know. It was insane.
3 million he lost.
He's since now gained them almost back.
I don't think so. He's at 15. He's gained 1 million back. He's out at of the 15. Three. Okay, sorry, I forgot you're
he's
on.
He's at 15.
Lindsay's like a James Charles stan.
Oh,
now.
I love him. Okay.
You will not in a while, but
probably not.
He is so annoying.
Probably not, because that's the beauty of the internet. Yeah. Last week I was like, who is this devil child? Where did he spawn from after watching Tati's video? And now I'm like, Tati, you bully. You old bully.
See, this is what I find the funniest about it, is how quickly people's minds can change.
That's what
people.
I find so, yes, it's so interesting, and it's, like, but it's also scary for people like us who are in.
But that's what
this
I mean.
Media.
It's also completely built on sand, because it's like you didn't even watch any of these people before that happened.
No,
and now you're like stanning James Charles.
Yeah, I followed him today. Like, delighted he's at the Garlie skincare launch. But I think for me, it was eye opening. Just, I mean, whoa! You have to second guess yourself. You have to, like, you know, Toddy came out. She gave her, you know, her narrative of her feelings towards James and what happened with, let's say, the waiter or whatever, from her perspective, without, you know, having James there to defend himself or even the waiter to say his feelings on the situation. And everyone then just completely, you know, took her aside and saw James as a certain type of way. And it's just... yeah, it's just really eye-opening to be like, you have to just
see. I
not
see
believe
I
everything
think,
that you hear one
oh,
person say.
Totally. Like, I mean, you know, what's that saying? Like, there's three sides to every story. There's your side, my side, and the truth. You know, that way, like, you have to also, like, always, like, see that, like, anyone who does that, it will only ever be from their perspective. You know, that way. And, like, when you, like, you know, but I think what she did, like, I don't see as, like, really calculated and manipulative. I think that, like, Tati, to me, like, I've watched her for years, but, like, she's a basic bitch and she's 37 and she's from Seattle and she's just lived a very, like, normal kind of middle American life, you know. And I just see her as someone who's, like, really not exposed to, like, maybe the wider gay culture or, like, youth culture, you know. Like, there's a 20-year age difference between the two of them. That's, like, a big generation, you know, especially when you look at, like, what James Charles, you know, we spoke about in our live show, that mine and Lindsay's generation is the last generation to grow up without constant social media, you know. And I said in the last week's episode that James Charles to me is like the epitome of that generation of kids who have grown up on social media, like the good and the bad, you know. That way, the good is, and obviously he's so successful, fair play to him, and he's used it to his advantage. But the bad, in the sense that, like, he's 100% like susceptible to being around, like, really, you know, kind of fake people. He is putting, like, so much of his worth into, like, you know, like, material things and, like, appearance and all of those kind of things. Like, from what I've followed him on and off, like, mostly as a hate follow for a while, and, like, he's definitely, you can see the way his brain works, and his brain works in this kind of, like, social media narrative. Like, it's almost like as if social media is a part of, like, how he chooses to kind of live within the world.
But I do think, again, and which was what we were kind of touching upon a little bit last week, was when you think about his age. Now, I am looking at people like Jeffree Star, like Tati, who very much also live within that narrative of, like, obsessing clearly over followers, likes. That's, you know, their job, and would infiltrate into their overall being. It's an important part of when you are your income. It's not a separate job. Like, as a YouTuber, you are a personality. Same with kind of similar enough to us. But when I think of me at 19, I may not have had, like, social media or, but I was still obsessed with my looks, boys, a very small sphere of circle. I didn't care about what was going on in the world or anything like that. I cared about what was going on in my school.
Oh, I'm not even saying, though, like, that's, my point isn't that, like, they're only obsessed themselves, because I think, as you said, every 19-year-old is. Like, you're how you look at the world, even if you're 19 listening to this, you probably are like, no, it's not. But, like, a lot of it is quite insular, because that's just the nature of the game. You're only out of school a year. But, like, what I mean is just more so that, like, he would represent just the, like, the far end of the spectrum of, like, both a 19-year-old, of a 19-year-old who has grown up, because, you know, James Charles has been on and big on social media since he was 12. So, like, that's his entire, and I do think that it would affect, like, you know, they've got, like, you know, they've looked into how, like, social media has affected, like, mental health in teenagers, and growing up on it is so different. And I think when you haven't had that, there's definitely going to be a difference than when you have had that.
But this is kind of, for me, with James Charles, you know, it's, for me, it's not social media isn't the problem. It's the huge amount of fame that he has. Like, it's separate. They're two separate things.
But, like, they're interlinked, I mean, too, though.
But, like, I just think, They are, but it's just his is on such a bigger scale in comparison to, say, some teenagers who are just using social media in school, which I also think, you know, there must be huge problems. I'm so glad I didn't have it in school.
Seriously.
Because even just for simple things like that, school is carried home with you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you have an Instagram account and, you know, if you're kind of getting bullied, or even if you're not getting bullied, but if you are in that those insecure years, which you're a lot more insecure, I feel, when you're in those kind of like transformative years.
Yeah, when you're going through puberty and stuff, you know.
And so to have to kind of maintain this certain image via social media must be such a massive pressure.
Yeah.
But with James Charles, it's like he is just ginormously famous. Like he is a kind of on a Britney Spears level of child fame.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I mean by the extreme. You know, the end of the spectrum is in, like, he is probably the most successful person in, at least anyway, the YouTube makeup community of his age.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, so it's like he represents the good and the bad. But like, I think what Tati did, I don't know, I think she's just kind of basic. But I think, and this is coming from as a fan of Jeffree Star, and I've loved Jeffree Star since like I was on MySpace, what he did was completely calculated, manipulative, and way worse than what Tati did, in my opinion. That was absolutely like beyond any form of like moral compass. It was so horrendous. And like, that's why I found like the backlash, if you look at like, say, the subscription loss, Tati lost way more.
Yeah.
And you know, say what you will about like, and I would probably agree with you on a lot of the claims she made in that first video, but at least you could see that there was some form of like emotional investment in James, and there was care there. And I think there was, be it even if it was just a business thing, they did have a lot of trust in each other and they had a very close connection. So, you know, people say really crazy things out of hurt, and that doesn't make it right, but like Jeffree Star just jumped in on something that wasn't his business, and that, and made hugely
and really
damaging
in
claims.
Those texts that you saw on James's video, like at that part of the video, and James was like, I'm going to read this out just to try and get you to imagine what it was like to be in the receiving end of a text like that. I mean, Jeffree was basically saying he was going to make at least 3 videos of with people saying outrageous claims about him without James being in any way present to defend himself or have an option, you know, not giving him any what's going to be said.
It was like blackmail.
It was. And then saying that you should be in prison for a very long time, and that you're like, this is outrageous.
But the thing
without
is,
without certain facts.
Oh.
Especially when we...
No, it's even outrageous with facts. Go to the police. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, if...
And if it hasn't happened to you, the bit, like, I mean...
Yeah.
You know...
Fair enough you want to help someone, but like, it's obviously, it was very clearly just a bullying tactic. But then again, when people were shocked and appalled by this, I was like, do you not know anything about Jeffree Star? Like, this has happened. I'd say in the last 5 years, shit like this has come out with Jeffree Star over like 25, 30 times. Like, this is him. And, you know, take what you will from that. But that, this has happened to him all the time. Texts have been sent.
Really?
Oh.
I think just since the whole Shane Dawson thing, where it was like giving, you know, obviously Shane Dawson went and did like the whole Jeffree Star kind of documentary thing. You know, Jeffree's like peeling down his Gucci trousers to show his like scratches that he's put on himself and everything like that. I can't fathom how you and I know how we've had like our controversy, that really I try to just be careful with like entering into that, like the call out culture and that. And for Jeffree to have so many controversies of his own where he has been attacked and things have followed him for years, like his racist comments, we still hear that come up about Jeffree, and for him to then like do that to a 19-year-old is just mad to me.
Oh, he's done it before. He's literally sent shit like that to like customers. So like, it's like, it's really not
I know it's not new.
Yeah.
Or it's not new or whatever. Like, it's not like
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying that it was from a load of people. I saw like basically what I mean was, it was for me, it was quite sad to see that. Like, and I get that she like started it, she fanned the flames or whatever, or lit the candle or whatever, but like Tati lost so much more than Jeffree did. And like, I just think that's kind of bizarre, because like, at least like the Tati kind of subscription loss, like Jeffree lost like 40,000. Tati lost like, I think, 500,000 or something, you know, that way, which is like whatever.
I do think though, in some ways, I mean, if you're looking at Jeffrey and you're looking at Tati, like you said, like maybe, you know, Jeffrey's been around since MySpace days. I followed him on MySpace. Mm-hmm. And, you know, stuff has come out about this, like about Jeffrey for years. Mm. You always hear controversy follows that man.
So maybe really they're used to it.
If they haven't followed him through all that, why would they?
Yeah, true.
And I did actually unfollow Jeffrey because I was just, I can't even support via my one little single follow someone who is going to say that to anyone. I don't know. I just can't. And I'm not perfect, but I was just like, look, if that's something I can, a small thing that I can do, which will make a little dent for, because I feel like he should have lost a lot of subscribers from that. That's outrageous behavior.
See, the thing, the biggest thing for all this for me was just showing like, just the absolute ridiculousness of call out culture in general. And I understand that like influencers, as you said, like are selling themselves as their brand and they are their job and blah, 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 blah. And I get that. But like, it's just like, why? I just couldn't care, really. Like, it's just so funny to see how like flippant and vacuous it all is. As in like, Tati makes the video, James Ross loses 3 million. James makes the video, Tati loses 1 million. It's just like, have some sort of, and then it's like, I'm not going to follow them because of the following this. It's like, for me, it's like, as a consumer, what we should really be doing is not feeding into these like, dramatics of it all. And I understand that there's always going to be with influencers a certain level that you're bought into their personality and their private life and all that kind of stuff. That's always going to be part and parcel to it in some extent. But like, you know, at the same time, it's like, it's entertainment. It's for entertainment purposes. Now, obviously, if there was truth behind like really crazy accusations of like sexual assault and everything like that for James Charles, I mean, do what you will. If you want to unfollow and you think that'll make a difference, then, you know, do you.
And of course it makes a difference.
No, I'm not saying if
you... Like that, I mean...
No, I'm saying it, that's your choice. But what I'm saying is that like, it's still kind of... I still find it odd because call out culture in itself is always the virtue is always in things like followers, and the virtue and the kind of what the person's repercussions are, so little of the time actually come to anything like legal and tangible. Do you know what I mean?
But that can be put on, you know, whoever, like maybe Tati for bringing up these, like, you know, how she handled that. Like when it starts online, if you want to get something handled legally, or if you think that someone is doing something illegal, don't address it online.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I know, I'm just saying the whole nature of it is just so...
But it was. And it turns out that I don't know if there is anything illegal that he's done there. You know, maybe more stuff will come out or whatever. But in terms of like the call out culture where people are writing horrendously hateful comments under Jeffrey, Tati and James's, like, you know, through whoever was the villain at the time in this like major constant plot twist saga. I think just for me, it's like unfollow. You see that a lot. Like we've heard that, like if you don't like someone, you know, unfollow them. You don't need to, like, that's just... I don't want to write a horrendous, hateful comment tearing down, slagging someone off. You know, I talk about it in a way that's kind of seeing the whole thing in different perspectives, and that kind of interests me. But I mean, at the end of the day, that was the main thing that people were talking about, and that is the currency. The currency is the following.
And I know. I know. Look, I'm not fighting with you. I'm not coming from an opposite standpoint of you. I'm just saying.
So that's I mean, again, I don't majorly invest in like beauty things, but I think it is important to not... For me, it was important to unfollow Jeffrey after reading this.
Yeah, and then also never watch the following. It's just funny because we put so much in the followers, but it's also like his views all went up, so we still make money off it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like...
Yeah, so don't watch, don't follow, you know.
Yeah, like I can understand it.
Disengage.
I can, if you care. Personally, for me, it's like it's all entertainment. And like Jeffree Star, like if you are in any way have followed him over the years, as I said, like this should not come as a surprise to you. The man is literally mental. And like I don't really care about it, honestly. Like I'm just like, oh, whatever. Like they're all just like...
I understand, like, you don't care. I'm talking more about people who are like writing outrageous things.
Oh, totally.
Like, you are cancelled. Yeah. You are cancelled. Like you're giving them interaction. So just like,
don't watch
just follow, don't watch it.
Yeah.
For your own mental health, because like if it is truly affecting you, Or, you know, like you see people, we've seen it countless times before, like reacting to videos being like, I'm bawling crying because you said that. I'm so sickened. It's like, if you enjoy the little hate watch, that's different, you know?
What do you think of call out culture in general?
I mean, I think this was like, even as a like 2019 human experiment, if it was, it's not. Like it was, I definitely think it was real. I don't know the background. I don't know if it was like,
I mean,
if
there's
conspiracies going on, if like they, you know, planned the whole thing and Jeffree Star and Tati, whatever. But I do think as just, it showed how ridiculous the whole thing is. The major plot twist, you believe this person, you believe this person, he gets the receipts, and then you're believing screenshots that easily can be manipulated or anything like that. Like, and it could just go on and on and on, and it could be a constant thing where like, Team Jeffree, Team Tati, you know, and it just shows you don't know these people. You won't know these people. You weren't there. Like, so just talk about makeup and shut the fuck up, please.
Yeah, I mean, like, just in terms of call-out culture, I just think that's the more interesting kind of narrative of the whole thing. You know, that way, instead of like, I mean, the beauty aspect's just like, you know, YOLO, leave them to it. And I agree with you. It's just like,
I think it's an unstoppable flame. Like, it really is an unstoppable fire. Like, I mean, it just takes...
It is, but I also think that the problem with call-out culture is that, like, we all feed into it so much. Like, the call-out culture is just based on this, like, false ideology that, like, if you, like, call someone out, that, like, they're just going to stop and back down and never work again. Like, you know, like, people were acting as they were like, James Charles is finished, he's cancelled. And now everyone's like, Jeffree Star is cancelled. It just shows, like, the absolute, like... lack of real true investment or real true thought that goes behind it. Like, I really think, you know, if you have a problem with call-out culture, which so many people have come from this, is just stop feeding into it. Like, I watched the videos and stuff, obviously not saying that I'm like, you know, not giving them the view or whatever, but it's just like what spurs it on so much is like the continuous narrative. When it's just like, to me, when I saw all of that play out, when it began to become messy with like Jeffree Star and Tati Nick and another video and all that, I was just like, I'm just disengaging in this. I found it embarrassing to watch. I was like, this is the whole entire thing. Like, I think 100% James Charles was 100% right to make his video. Like, I will always, you know, defend someone's right to defend themselves, especially in the medium that they were accused. I think that's really important to do. And like that, like, ties into like, you know, having freedom of speech and everything else like that. But like call out culture, it's just, it's such a weird thing that like our generation has accepted as normal. That like we are now the like vigilante police of who is deemed acceptable or not without really needing much proof at all. Do you know that way? Like, it's like, you're cancelled, like cancelled culture. I just find it so vacuous.
I find it vacuous, but also just from, I'm interested in human interaction and how, I mean, it's just so interesting to me how it is acceptable. Why is it acceptable? When did this start? Like these, and it's so, we've talked about it so many times in the podcast because it is that interesting. Because it's quite unpredictable.
Yeah.
You know?
It's completely unpredictable.
Like, I mean, we saw it with Hedy Douglas. We did that podcast about a year ago.
Who was
a, like, you know, artist in London. And she blew up and had a huge viral moment and so much negativity. And it's always the same. Humans seem to go from not to 100 with these things. Like, it's always the death threats. It's always contacting their family. It's always contacting their work. It's like, literally, this public lashing of wanting to fully destroy someone. Over whatever it may be. It can be something as simple as Hedy Douglas taking a photograph of builders in a McDonald's, or it can be James Charles getting accused of really awful things.
And they're both held to the exact same standard most of the time. Because it's basically like someone who is successful doesn't even have to be all the time. But like, say in the celebrity world, right? That's kind of when I really kind of think of call out culture. It usually is to do with someone who has quite a high profile, you know, that way. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's like that fucking... Sorry if you can hear that fucking phone call from COVID downstairs. It always derails my thoughts.
I know, it's so, so annoying. Loud.
But I just find it's so... it doesn't have any basis in reality as well, because a lot of the time is that people, it must be so confusing to go through. You know, as you said, you and I went through like a controversy about 2 years ago, and it can feel so real when you're in it online, but then when you're actually existing in the real world, it's normal. Now, we're lucky enough that we don't have a James Charles size platform. I'm sure it was very different for him. Mm-hmm. But it's just that I find it so incredibly toxic when I see it happen online. And I just...
It's scary. I see it's... It scares me because, like, I mean, again, like... And I'm sure everyone maybe at this point has had something negative on with, you know, living your life online, whether it was a weird Facebook message or someone kind of constantly messaging you on WhatsApp or a weird, you know, whatever it is, that kind of invasion of, like, when it gets to a point of this a huge, big viral call out moment. I mean, it's just...
It's like the Notre Dame fucking fire.
It's so scary to think that that was on one 19 year old and then it shifted to one 37 year old and then Jeffree Star, whatever the hell age he is, alien man. But like,
when you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
But it's just mad to be just on the receiving of so much hate that would make you... I mean, they all said it. I was in a dark place. I was thinking dark things.
And like the nature of cancel culture means everyone can be cancelled because everyone has done something that is cancelable, because like beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Cancelled is in the eye of the person who's offended. So... Yeah. You know, I could cancel someone, you know, say with the whole Bloggers Unveil thing, you know, we're cancelling the makeup fairy because she photoshopped or face-tuned her pictures, or it went from that to like, you know, maybe more legitimate stuff that was your woman bullshit caller outer, which was like, you're ripping off your customers, you're buying stuff in from China. But then again, you know, which I made that argument on that podcast as well. That's how the majority of businesses work, you know, that way. Like, we've seen that now with the whole sustainable fashion kind of...
Trying to hold up now, especially, and it kind of with social media where we have like it all. I think it's, you know, in terms of social media calling out anyway, it's like we try to make ourselves seem perfect, lovely, constantly growing, you know, being held accountable to our mistake, all that kind of stuff. And we're just trying to be perfect when no one is ever going to be perfect. So everyone is up for a public lashing.
Totally.
Because if you have flaws, you're going to get...
It's like we're back in Pompeii with them writing the shit on the walls. And then it makes me think, have we always just done cancel culture?
I know.
Do you know that way? It's like, do humans always just want to like out other people's like little secrets? And you know,
people love feeling more morally higher than other people. Yeah. So in that case of like, you know, whether it was Hedy Douglas, James Charles, Jeffree Star, I'm better than you because I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You are the worst person for doing this. And also, when someone puts themselves on a platform like that, it's so much easier to see them almost like a feckin' art piece, and you can just nitpick everything Tati said, everything, you know, and really just tear down someone's whole entire character.
And career then, when their character is their career.
Yeah.
It's so absolutely mental.
Or even when your career isn't your character, or vice versa. Like, I mean, we see it with businessmen all the time, you know, in whatever
capacity.
People with one tweet losing their whole entire job.
Yeah,
it's mad. It's just so interesting. And it's just, it's interesting in that it scares me. It scares the shit out of me.
It scares just in the terms shit of out like, of me too,
because it's so what's the word, like, you can go on the internet and say anything you want with any profile, any picture,
yeah,
anything. It's just so unregulated. That's what scares me.
Well, the unregulation is also what gives it... It is quite regulated now. Do you know that way? Like, you can't, like...
Just, it's not really. Everyone's telling James Charles to kill himself only a few days ago. They're not being held accountable to that.
Yeah, but, like, you also, in order for it to let those people be able to say that, that also gives James, like, the right to defend himself. Like, you know, you have to, unfortunately, with when it comes to, like, freedom of speech, especially within the internet rules, you can't just pick and choose what's okay. You know, that way, like, I mean, you have...
That's what I mean, that it's totally unregulated. Like, but how do you...
Well, it's regulated in the sense that you can report the comments and they'll be deleted and their account will be suspended if you're putting in, you know, if there's terms of services on those websites. So, you know, it's regulated in that sense, and that is regulation. You know, that way there are moderators on Twitter, on everything, that ban those accounts. Now, obviously, if you're going to waste your time making multiple accounts all day every day, then have fun, you know, that way. But like, that's regulation to stop that kind of thing being said, or not stop the thing.
Well,
but
it doesn't, because it just happened last week.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is, like, unregulation means that there's no consequences. There's consequences in the sense that, like, if you
but their comment gets deleted after.
I'm just saying that's how the that is regulation.
I know, but what I'm saying is that, like, you know, these things are happening. They're getting to the point of the most extreme point that it can go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then it just simmers down. We wait a while and it will be someone else.
Oh, totally.
In a week,
yeah.
In 2 weeks, wherever.
But, like, stopping, I mean, like, you know, then it's like, if you start to have rules over, like, what can and can't be said on the internet, that's just putting the onus in the hands of whoever the fuck is making up those rules. You know, that way it's never going to be, like, democratized, or it's never, you know, that people could then be like, you're not allowed to swear on the internet, you're not allowed to do this. And then all of a sudden it's like everything you're saying is overly regulated on
the internet. Well, I think now that the internet is such a massive part of society, it should be held to, you know, the same standards that society has, which is, like, there are laws on the internet already, but they obviously need to be upped a bit, because this is happening so much.
Well, what would you propose?
I don't know. I don't make, like, the rules, but I don't know how to stop this, but I do think it should be stopped because it's happening so, so much.
But, like, you know, I think what it is like, if anything, if it shows you anything, is that, like, as I said, like, I could make a fake account and start sending James Charles death threats and say someone reports that account, delete it. I can just make another one. Now, how do you stop that? So then
there needs to be some way for, like, if I think it would be a very different world on the internet if everyone was themselves, just like you're walking around society, walking around the world as yourself.
I just don't think that's possible.
I'm sure it is.
Well, that means
it would probably take years and years and years to get there. It would probably mean, like, fucking fingerprints and passport to sign up to a Facebook or Instagram account,
which would be mental, because that just goes into, like, a certain level of, like, personal privacy, you know.
Well,
that way,
if you want certain personal privacy, maybe don't be on the internet then.
That's all fair enough.
I mean, because there's personal privacy in a regard of,
say, for example, like, if, you know, you're saying, you, like, I understand, like, the death threats and everything, I'm not saying I'm pro that, but what I mean is that, like, it's very quick to then end up with, if anyone doesn't like anything you say, you're banned from the internet forever. Say, for example, we make money off the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Say we put something out in the podcast that someone finds really offensive, and then we get banned from making podcasts forever just because of one thing we said. That's how that, if you hold one thing to a standard, it has to all be held to the same standard.
I mean, more that I think if people didn't have the ability to cloak themselves and be a certain type, like, mm-hmm. fake a person, like, a lot of the hate, when you see these huge, big, viral, you know, hate things happen, so many of the comments are just dull, like, no profile, you don't know who it is, it's a completely fake account.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the receiving end of that a lot as well.
Totally, yeah.
If you just took that out, the hate that I get from actual profiles is less than the hate that I get from fake profiles.
But I just don't think it's possible. That would be my thing, because it's like, how do you, first of all, it's like, that's trusting that every person who makes these kind of fake profiles is in their right mind, which sometimes, you know, arguably some of them may not be. And then how do you regulate that? How do you say, oh, you're banned from the internet? Know what I mean? It's an interesting conversation.
I'm not fucking Mark Zuckerberg or whatever, but, like, I'm just saying that.
Yeah, but I'm just having the conversation.
Could be removed. And I'm sure it is possible, because, I mean, years ago, people probably didn't think that television was possible, you know?
Like, I know, I'm not saying, I'm sure it's possible, but I would just be, that would worry me more than troll accounts, because I just think that's then kind of, it kind of goes into, like, severe punishment over access to information. Like, when you think of the internet isn't really, especially in like the Western world, isn't a luxury anymore. It's a given. And it's also how a lot of people, you know, if you think of the internet, it's like, that's how some people vote. It's how people get information that is from the news and everything. I understand
that, but I'm not saying that it needs to be regulated in the words or whatever. I'm saying that if you were held accountable to everything that you did and said online,
mm-hmm.
then that would make a difference. So then there could be consequences in real life. And I mean, in terms of death threats, mm-hmm. stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
violent kind of aggressive behavior online.
Mm.
Because if you go out in the real world and do that, you would be punished for that. But online, you can hide and, you know, not get caught out for it.
Yeah, I guess. You can hide to a certain extent, as in like you could, you know, if I send an anonymous letter to someone, death threat, that isn't always traceable. And I'd have no consequences. Same if I send an anonymous Twitter thing. Do you know what I mean? It's like, but actually, really, the Twitter thing is actually more traceable because it goes back to an IP address. So unless
but there's always to like...
There is, but like it's easier to probably get away with sending a death threat in the real world than it would be on the internet.
It's easier to get away with it on...
In the real world. I could just write a letter with gloves on. No one could trace that. You know what I mean? Like, but like if I'm sending it from my phone, even if I have a VPN, people, if you want to, people could still be traced down. So are you being...
They could be, but more... it's just, I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. So.
Well, people get caught for that shit all the time. Fucking harassment online. Like when it gets severe.
I mean, in terms of like...
And harassment is, no matter if it's online or if it's not online, it's still taken as verbal harassment and death threats. Whether you got a tweet or whether you... Now, it's up to you whether you want to obviously pursue it. But, like, it's still, like, it's in... I think there are laws already that it's, like, they're taken in, like, bullying, like the online bullying laws and everything else like that.
There is,
still,
and they are, like, thank God for Katie Price. She's doing that over in England. But... I just mean in terms of like when we see a huge, big viral thing, the victim is usually the person who has been held accountable to some level of like some moral compass that now we've decided they have to hold up to.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are, like we've said this before, the people who are maybe doing so much worse than this person is being accused of via their language on the internet, like, you know, addressing their family, trying to tear down their job, being, you know, using violent, threatening words to people. You never see or hear of anything coming out of a viral moment other than the person who went viral getting affected.
Totally, yeah.
But so that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. No, I get you. I think what it is for me is more like the onus should be on the person who decided to make, like, whether it was a hit piece or a video or anything else like that. Now, obviously... That comes into, again, having freedom to be able to say whatever the fuck you want on the internet.
How do you mean that ownership should be on Tati, well, for example?
Not like ownership, but I think like that's the people that you should look at more, as in like, you know, why, you know, and like obviously she's allowed to say what she wants on the internet. You can't tell people that they can't make a video based, like, you know, if me and you had a massive falling out. The nature of us living in this country is that, like, I could go online and obviously just be like, say, tell my story. You know, obviously it's different when you're starting to make accusations and everything, but like, nothing she did was illegal.
I get that.
So, but what I mean is that, like, when you look at it as a cultural kind of phenomenon, which I do with call out culture, I think that, like, you're better off looking at the root of it rather than the reaction. And the root of it is people feeling that they have the right to destroy other people's careers or livelihoods or reputations through making these, like, whether it's the Washington Post making that piece about PewDiePie or whether it's Tati making the video. I think, like, that's the root of it. And we have to wonder, like, why do we feel entitled to do that to other people and not address it privately? I don't believe anything of this whole, like, I tried to reach them, I couldn't get them privately, blah blah blah. It's like, you can always contact someone privately. You can fucking
and
always
just wait until they
enter or whatever. And it's no, like, why is our culturally, why are we kind of wired to, I just find that mad that we're wired now to do it online rather than we're wired to, you know, actually try and fix it and nip it in the bud in person or just by yourself if you can't reach that
person. I think when there's financial gain, that's what changed with the Tati thing. I think it was all for financial gain, and that was the root of everything. She only went off obviously after the whole vitamin thing happened.
Yeah.
And then again, Jeffrey saw an opportunity to get onto something that was so, like, so huge and had such financial gain there.
I would have financially.
Because this is why every single person was jumping on these videos. People made so much money out of it.
I think hers wasn't always monetized though. It was only for the first few hours. So she didn't make all of that money on ad revenue on her video, her first video. I remember I did read that today.
I don't know.
No, but that's what, like...
She obviously, like, she plugged her freaking vitamins, like, how many times?
Oh, yeah. But she's allowed to do that. Fuck it. And you know that way. But I understand what you mean. I understand what you mean. When it's transactional.
Why do it in private? Like, if I'm thinking about why do it in private when she probably saw an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And she can deny that Jeffree Star can say he was standing up for her, whatever. And even James, in terms of, like, answering back and doing his, like, no... Like, it was all financially. And when you are in this, like, you know... culture of like being a YouTuber, which seems so, you know, like flippant maybe because it has changed so much even over the past few years. When you can, it's just, it must just be money.
And when you think of it, like, that's another part of crawler culture, even if it's on a person like, say, Justine Sacco or whatever. Always what you see is, you know, I think wasn't it Google made something like 300 million or something off her scandal? Because what happens is that if something has a viral aspect to it, the nature of BuzzFeed and Washington Post and all these like website publications, which base their income off ad revenue, which is bought from Google, like everyone wins except for the person. Everyone wins except for us. Everyone wins except for, like, even the people writing the comments. You're doing...
James Charles won.
Yeah. Well,
Taddy won to a certain...
Oh, like, well, I mean, they all made money. Every single one of them. They all made something off it. You know, that way, like, and, you know... So, like, the only losers, really, are the people engaging in it, which, ironically, are the people making them the money.
I know.
Do you know, it's like the general public, we feel like we're doing good by, like, cancelling or, like, watching the video. But it's like, really all you're doing is putting fucking dollars in the pocket.
I think the obsession and, like, why I don't think it's an embarrassing thing to, like, be interested in. I think the obsession is that, like, humans are so voyeuristic for other humans. Because we are living as a singular. You only have your own thoughts in your head, your own feelings in your body. Like, you can never truly feel how someone else feels or think how someone else thinks. So we now, more than ever, are seeing people on YouTube. We're seeing how people interact with each other, or how, you know, we get to view people more than ever. Like, back in, you know, even when I was growing up, you'd see the Spice Girls or Kate Moss, but you wouldn't know anything about them. You wouldn't know their home. Now we know everyone's skincare regime, what their bedroom looks like. You know, it's just so purely voyeuristic. Like,
it's like the Truman Show.
It is.
On a huge scale.
It literally is. It's mad how that fucking movie predicted how...
I know.
Like, I remember going to see that as a kid in the movie, in the cinema, and being like, I now feel like I'm being watched.
Everyone was like, is that movie about me?
I know. I was like, oh my God. I have noticed little cameras around. Looking at security cameras and spotting. Yeah, like,
That woman is smiling at me weird. Why does everyone know my name and does?
So yeah, it's just really interesting, and just how obsessed we are. I think it's really the root of it is always trying to connect with people. So if there's one person we can vilify in a call out culture kind of sense, we are all connecting via our united hate, and we disagree with how he's conducting himself. We all agree we're on the same level, therefore we're connecting because our minds are aligned and blah blah blah.
It's fucking bizarre. And then I'm like, is it because people aren't connecting in real life anymore? Is it because, like, you know, say, like, people used to, I don't know, it's like, it's a weird kind of phenomenon with social media, because, as I said, like, back in Pompeii they had it, they'd write it on the walls, but then again it would only be kept in that little nook of that town, maybe go to the next town, you know, that way. But, like, now it's like you're held to this, like, a higher moral standard, especially for being, like, a fucking makeup artist. It's like,
I know,
who the fuck cares about their makeup artist's morals? Like, realistically, up until 10 years ago, like,
I care if they're washing their brushes.
I know, exactly. Their hygiene is way more important. But it's like, you know, you're looking for the YouTubers for entertainment purposes or for educational, say, for example.
We just want a whole person.
Yeah, it's like we want them to be amazing
at makeup. Give us a deadly merch line. Also give to charity. Also,
but that merch line has to be sustainable.
Yeah, literally. Then there you have to be, like, you know, friendly with everyone in the community.
Yeah.
Have good, true friends as well. Like, we want just this perfect person. We are looking for God YouTube.
It's weird. We've kind of gone back to, like, how if you looked at how they made, I love, like, old, like, Hollywood and stuff like that. And if you look at how they, like, made movie stars, they would make a backstory for them back then. Like, I think it was, like, Doris Day and all these things. They would get them on, they would change their name, and they would make a backstory that wasn't their life.
To make them more relatable.
Because it was so easily controlled back then.
Yeah.
That I could be like, okay, Lindsay, we're going to make you a movie star. So this is your, they call it like a founding story or something like that. And they'd be like, you grew up in a farm. You had big dreams. And it would all like interlink into all the characters you played. And it's we're looking for that perfect kind of icon.
And this
in
is
a
why.
World where we can find out everything really what happened. So then we create, if you look at the kind of trajectory of so many influencers who have been cancelled, it's very similar to the James Charles thing. And as I said, again, he's just kind of the epitome of it on a severe scale. Like, this is a kid who kind of went through a lot of minor controversies over the years, but then seemed to hit his stride in the past like 18 months or so, went up to huge amounts of fame, basically was seen as like kind of like perfect. He was collabing with Kim Kardashian and had crazy famous people on his channel, and it's like he kept bubbling up and bubbling up and bubbling up. And it's like, it's almost as if now in this world, when you get to that point, like, you have to wait to be cancelled because someone will, at some point, someone's going to get fucking bitter, whether that's your friend, whether that's your mentor, or whether it's just your fans.
But it's also like putting, you know, the when you gain more followers, you gain more importance, but you also gain like
bigger risk.
Yeah, such a bigger risk. It's scary.
It's just,
and you always see them being like, I had 2 weeks off and I've never felt better. Why are you back on then?
I know. But then it's like, I guess, what's the opposite? Not go online and make their money. That's like the,
I know,
that's the crazy thing when you're,
but then you even see like people who don't make money online doing that. They're like, oh, hey guys, I just had 5 weeks off social. Wow,
I feel better.
I never felt so much better. I really
but here I am.
But you did log back in, so I kind of that fucking good. So I won't bother myself. But anything else we want to chit chat about before we go? We have about 10 more mins.
I got a really fun app popped into my head that I think girlies will like.
Oh,
I think you would like it too, Linz. So this is one for all my astrology hoe bags, but also anyone would be into it because it's not super astrology based. My friend Yulia told me about it. It's called The Pattern, and it gives you, you put in your birth information, so where you're born, the time you're born, everything else like that, and from your birth chart it predicts your patterns in like relationships, friendships, and everything else. And it's actually fucking crazy.
Have you found out things that are true to you?
There was ones that I was like, oh my god, like there's little captions here: confidence and anxiety, driven and serious.
Oh, cute.
Innovative. And then so it gives you your ideal relationship. Okay.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, it's mad.
So then you can kind of, if you're dating, see if this is going to work.
So let's see. I do relationship.
I love that we're not trusting the actual relationship. We're now trusting apps.
Apps.
So yes, we definitely do need to connect more if we're trusting apps over.
Please give me an app to show me my relationship fears. Yeah.
Is this relationship working, phone? No. You're dumped, but it's going so well. The app thinks differently.
The app thinks differently. So when I read out the main blurb for my relationship fears.
Do.
Okay. So you can tell me
if I think they're right.
Yeah, because obviously we've had loads of conversations. So you may have had difficult or disappointing relationship experiences. You might expect to be with someone who is powerful and makes you feel alive. You're looking for a seductive, intense partner. If that energy is lacking, you might get bored and dissatisfied. Alternatively, you may steer away from this type out of fear, or you could choose unemotional types and try to get them to open up. But when they do, it's dramatic and overwhelming.
Okay.
The people you're with may be repressed, controlling, or have trouble with intimacy. Or they could be secretive and selfish. They don't recognize your needs, and if you get in their way, you may get hurt. It's possible that you're the one who struggles with intimacy and shuts down or becomes reactive. You might be so afraid of being vulnerable that you avoid relationships or stay in dysfunctional situations longer than is healthy for you.
Gulpy gulp. Okay, well, I think you are a little afraid of being vulnerable. And when I say little, quite afraid.
Yes.
And not in just in relationships. I think you like to,
in general,
you know, not be vulnerable.
I'm not, I don't even like to admit to myself vulnerabilities. I'm like, this is fine, everything's fine.
Yeah, where I'm constantly vulnerable. I'm constantly like, I'm an open wound. Yeah. But I think that's probably right for now, but interesting, it could change. You know?
Oh, totally. Everything's up for change.
Yeah.
Well, I do my ideal relationship.
Okay.
In your long-term relationship, what works best is being with a partner who makes it easier for you to pursue your professional life. Ideally, they've also found their own sacred calling. These types appreciate your uniqueness and idealism. They don't make you feel guilty for wanting to make a difference in the world. There's a mutual agreement that the relationship won't always come first. Neither one of you should be the caretaker. In the relationship, you should both feel autonomous and be able to have your own space.
Very interesting. And yes, I definitely think that that would be important for you.
Yeah. Less so career, but definitely
opinions,
my own.
And kind of wanting, because I mean, we get that with the podcast. Like, I mean, we're revealing ourselves so much on a podcast. We need people who let that happen and
accept it.
Accept
that it's just going to be
a
part of the of life.
And that it's important. So, you know, your opinion isn't important. Mind bugging is, you know. Yeah. I'm so downloading that. I'm dying to see who my dream relationship is.
Oh my God, you need to get it. Do you know what time you were born?
I think it was like 1 a.m. Okay. Around 1 a.m.
Okay.
I'll double check with my mimi.
Yeah, you should get it. And then I'm trying to see, is there any other interesting ones?
Because I had this book years ago. It was like a love signs book. I was obsessed with it.
Oh, yeah.
It was like pink velvet, and it was like showing you all the different signs that, like, you know, Pisces goes with this, and you should never go near that. And I was like, oh.
This is great because it's less so, like, if you're not that, it doesn't really mention your zodiac anywhere. Okay. It's more like a, it's kind of more like a read on your personality type based on your birth chart. So it's less so like, if you're not as into like hearing like, oh, that's my Leo moon, which I understand has become so memeable now that like some people can tune out. So this doesn't mention it anywhere, and it also shows, which is so fun.
What's it called again?
It's called The Pattern, if you're looking for it. So
is it free?
It is free.
Thank you.
I wouldn't be paying for it. No, I definitely would. So also you can connect with friends, and so I'm connected with Yulia, the only person I'm connected with, and it tells you how your personalities vibe together.
No way.
Yeah, it's so much.
And is that legit?
It's actually, it's just so interesting. So it's like, it said something here. It says, you and Yulia are similar types of people. You have many similarities in terms of your outlooks, approaches, and perspectives on life. You both have a strong foundation and various ways in which you relate, but there are also ways which you could differ. And then I think there's a way you can get into it. Oh God, I can't even fucking find it. But there was a thing that Yulia was showing me, and she was like, look, and it was like, you're both very vibing on this and this. And then
that's,
it's like,
cute.
And it shows like where times in your charts you might not be like communicating great.
How do you mean? So like months?
Yeah, it'd be like in the next few weeks, you guys might be struggling with intimacy. Based on your
chart.
Oh
charts. My goodness, this podcast is going to change. We'll be like, hey guys, sorry if you notice any tension. The pattern told us that we will be not vibing this week. So if you pick up on that, know that we're allowed because the app told us.
Literally. That. Like it says here, like my career and home expansion is lit until the 10th of November. So we've got till the 10th of November to really get this career going.
Okay, that's a good amount of time.
It is, near my birthday.
I vibe with that.
And my reality check, I've got a reality check happening from the 5th of January till the 18th of September this year. So,
okay, so this, we can live in our little bubble before then.
No, we're having it now. I'm having my reality check.
Oh, you're having it now.
For 5 months.
Oh, yeah,
I've got 3 months left. Yeah, I am. Oh my God, I am.
Honestly, I think maybe a bit more reality might need to be coming in soon.
Oh shit. Was that a threat?
No. I just now think I'm Mystic Meg.
Yeah.
Via you having that app and me not.
You need to text your mom now and be like, what time was I born? Okay. But girlies, I would advise you to get this because
that sounds so fun.
It's actually such a fun little app. I'm loving it. Yulia was like, you need to fucking get this.
I also like, love, I think girls love having an excuse to act a certain type of way, hence period talk.
And hence PMSing. Every girls loving like Zodiac.
Yeah, exactly. Like I mean, and they,
girls loving astrology.
That's
like,
why
that's
I would
want to
get into it. Like, sorry, my moon was like way over the other side of the planet there.
Yeah. And it's like, I can't remember. I think my friend Taya said it. She was like, astrology is, how did she word it? She's like, astrology is, what's that fucking thing? Wall Street? What's all that trading and everything? What's that called? Girl brain. People
like, no, like fucking money and shit.
Like, yeah, she's
the
like,
stock market.
The stock market. She said astrology is the stock market for women.
Literally. It's gas that we can be like, sorry.
Like, men
guys
are like, Standard Chartered's down. We're like, fucking Venus is in Capricorn again. Great.
I know. It's like, I will be moody for the next week and quarter. Yeah. It's not me. Yeah. No, God, don't blame me.
Men are like, fuck's sake, exchange rate for dollar to euro.
Or football.
Yeah, sport.
Yeah, men use football as in a way to express their emotions and a way to be moody cunts if they
and a way
be.
To excuse their annoying emotions as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, fuck's sake,
I
sorry,
do love
Liverpool.
Seeing a man finally getting some emotion out. If it's via just a few fuckers kicking a ball around,
yeah.
Let them.
Oh yeah.
You know?
It's like how we said, like, when you're riding a guy and they finally let out a
you're like,
yay!
Well done,
you made a noise after I've been wailing in the corner here for the
I
last
know.
20 minutes.
Anyway. So girlies, we gotta go record X Girls.
Yeah, so if you guys want more episodes, we never really plug that much on here, but we do have a Patreon where you can sign up and you get twice the amount of episodes, but 3 or 4 times, maybe 10 times the juice, because it's all X-rated shit.
It's X-rated to fuck. Today we're doing a relationship one. We asked all our X Girls to give us their relation questions, and we're doing like really fiery, quick back questions.
Love and relationship hotline. So tune in there if you're an X Girl. If not, go sign up and join the littlest little crew going
at the glitters green.
Until then, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like ish girls. Hey, we the ish girls. It girls. Hey, we the ish girls. Like it girls. We the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay and his bitch girls. Make you move your hips. What's up in Jink girl?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.